begin the message today, I actually have tagged someone in on this. Maybe some of you are wrestling fans. They do tag team. He's a tag team when he wrestles those boys. And so you start, and then you get, you know, right to the crucial moment, and then you tag in the guy who's going to be better than you. So I'm going to do that here in a couple minutes. But I want to at least get us kind of all together. We're in a series called One Big Story. And what we've been trying to do over the course of 8 weeks is talk about the entire Bible, which is awesome, and it's a challenge. And so we talked about in the first few weeks, the beginning, God creating all things, creating them good, putting man and woman in the garden, so many different things that we talked about in that first week. Then we followed through the fall and everything that happened as a result. All the brokenness in the world that we see is really a result of that first decision to step away. And since then, we've started tracking sort of God's reconnection or his efforts to reestablish for himself a people. And so you got to hear Doug talk about the Ebenezer Rock last week, and that thus far God has helped us. And we've processed through a little bit where God has called Abraham, and he has chosen him to be a blessing to the nations, and he has established a covenant with him, and that he will have many, many, many descendants, more than you can count. And so God has started this process of establishing his people again. And we talked a little bit about them beginning to move toward a land that God would reestablish them in. And so today, what we're going to start to talk about a little more is, what does it mean that they're the people of God? What does it mean that they're supposed to do in relation to that? Those kind of questions, what does it mean in that process? Last week, Doug started talking about the judges, the first kind of people that called God's people back, especially when they were going astray, or helped to guide them in the right way. And this week, we're going to get into the kings of Israel and of Judah, and how kind of God tries to use them, or the people really want them, really is what happens. And so we're going to follow the story there. So I've asked Bill Church if he'd speak to us today, and he graciously said yes. I called him on Wednesday night when I was not awake very well and said, hey, I think if I end up talking this Sunday, it's not going to be about anything important, and I'm going to get lost halfway through. So he graciously agreed to fill in. So we've been talking throughout the week about this, and I'm excited that he's going to share today. You can do that. And so welcome, Bill, and thank you for leading us today.
This thing is not big enough for me. I need something bigger to hang on to here. People find freedom and blessing by living in God's presence. Today, we're going to see how God, in his directing his people, how their relationship affected him. Did you know that 2,700 years ago, there was a small country on the Mediterranean Sea, and it was invaded by the enemy, and it's no more? I was thinking about that. Our country, many years ago, there was a division between the North and the South. Well, we're going to talk about what happened to this little country in Israel. The nation of Israel consisted of 12 tribes. And the first kings of Israel, God was present when they were appointed. They were appointed by priests, and they were filled with God's Spirit to rule his people. That was God's plan. God's representatives on earth were the kings, priests, and prophets. They were human leaders expected to obey God. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, you can open your Bibles or it'll be on the overhead. It says, what does God ask? It says, he said, fear the Lord, walk in his ways, love him. How much should we love him? With all your heart. Why? For it is your own good. I think it's kind of a good rule of thumb for even us today. Some of these kings had undisciplined lives, what got in the way of their godly leadership. Israel's first three kings ruled for 120 years. Their first king was King Saul. The second king was King David. And he was known as a man after God's own heart, I think that would be a wonderful thing for people to, when they think about you, am I a man or a woman after God's own heart? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And it's only through Christ that as we live our Christian life that God can work through us. And that was what God was doing with King David. The third king of Israel was a king who was noted for his wisdom. At that time, they considered him one of the wisest men in the world. His name was King Solomon. And during King Solomon's reign, they experienced peace and prosperity. During his reign, the temple was completed, and God's presence filled the temple. And it was a confirmation that God was with his people. And I like the prayer that King Solomon offered when at the dedication of the temple, and that's found in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 23. This says a lot about King Solomon. O God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants will continually wholeheartedly in your way. But the problem was, as King Solomon aged, his relationship with God changed also. He married foreign wives and allowed them to introduce idolatry into his country. At the death of Solomon, a conflict then developed between the new king and his managers. 10 of the tribes of Israel rebelled against the king and started a new nation. As you notice on the map, Israel was divided into two countries then. The northern kingdom of Israel consisted of 10 tribes of Israel, and the southern kingdom consisted of two tribes. And remember, there was 12 sons of Jacob, and this is where the tribes of Israel kind of got started. Israel, the northern kingdom, existed for 200 years, and they had 19 kings during that time. Most of the kings did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. What a legacy to think about your leaders of your country. King Ahab, in his rise to power, it was found in 16, verses 30 and 32. And Ahab, son of Omri, did evil in the eyes of the Lord more than any of those before him. He set up an altar of Baal in the temple. Not something to be proud of, as if you're remembered as a king. Then his wife Jezebel, you probably heard about her. Well, she was a Phoenician princess of the cult of Baal. She converted Ahab and much of the kingdom to worship Baal rather than God. The prophets continued to speak to the kings, and God was using them, but the kings did not listen, resulting in the moral and spiritual decline of the kingdom. Then the Syrian army came in and conquered the northern kingdom in 722 BC. And the people were taken into captive and into exile in Syria. And the nation of Israel was no more. I was just thinking, can you imagine your country suddenly no more because of an invading army came in? Now, that was the end of the nation, northern kingdom of Israel. Now, Judah also was the southern kingdom, and it existed for 345 years. They also had 19 kings, and some of their kings walked with God. But in time, idolatry crept in to their religious practices. The prophets preached against this sinful lifestyle. But it continued, and God allowed the Babylonians to invade their kingdom and carry their people away into captivity. And they destroyed, that was the fall of Jerusalem in 584 BC. And when they came in, they not only destroyed the temple, they destroyed all the homes, and they burned what they could burn, and they took the people away to Babylon, and the ones that they didn't kill. They did leave some people there, but then they brought the Babylonians in to mix up the people so that they couldn't rise up against the country of against Babylon. In the 2 Kings 25, verses 8 through 11, I just want to read a portion of that. It says, "The commander of the imperial guard, an official of the king of Babylon, set fire to the temple, royal houses, broke down the city and the walls, and took the people into exile." So Judah went into captivity also. Why did this happen to Israel and Judah? The northern kingdom of Israel worshiped Baal. They even sacrificed their sons and daughters on the altar. In other words, they used children as human sacrifices. The southern kingdom, they abandoned the temple of the Lord and worshiped idols. And God's anger was upon Judah and Jerusalem. Although the Lord sent prophets to the people to bring them back to him, they wouldn't listen. And the army of Aram invaded Judah and Jerusalem and killed all the leaders of the people. The word here is used, abandon. It's a word used in the Old Testament to notice divine punishment. Now it is required that those who were given a trust must prove to be faithful. That's a verse that was in Corinthians. I noticed that in my morning Bible study this morning. We're, as believers, are given a trust. God expects us to be faithful. As parents, are we faithful in our walk with the Lord? Are we faithful in bringing up our children to walk with the Lord and come to know him? The kings and prophets of Israel and Judah were not faithful. Now, when I was about 10 years ago, I went to France with my son and his wife. And we went to the cathedral of Notre Dame. And in the cathedral, they had this big book called the Book of Life. And you could sign it and give God a message. And I thought, oh my, they don't know that the Book of Life is in heaven. It's not. So I didn't sign it. We went to another church, and they had the crown of thorns there that was Jesus wore on the cross. That's what they said. Whew, that was something new to me too. And then another church, they had this. They said these are the actual nails that Jesus was nailed to the cross. Well, I thought, since all these great artifacts are here, I thought I was going to bring something back that was really special too. So I got the Ten Commandments that Moses wrote. And I brought those back just to show you that I have something famous too. Okay, now my whole object of this is that these kings disobeyed the first two commandments, as we find in Exodus 20, verse 21. The first commandment says, "You shall have no other gods before me." The second commandment, "You shall not forsake, you shall not make for yourself a graven image." So they made graven images of Baal. That was their god. Sin oftentimes is a gradual thing when we allow ourselves to drift away from our walk with God. We must be careful to choose what is right and true over what is popular and convenient. In Psalms 119:11, God gives us a promise. "I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Kind of a good idea, isn't it? Do we read God's word each day? You know, the pastor gave us a while back this little guide for scripture reading and on the prayer back, a prayer guide. If you don't do that, think about using that each day. You'll find it. You'll begin to really be blessed when you spend time with the Lord each day. Now, the prophets continued to warn the people about the wrongdoing they were doing. they would oftentimes repent and turn back to God, but then they go back to their pagan ways. God also sent another prophet to the people by the name of Jonah, and this is found in Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. I just want to read a portion of that. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because the wickedness has come up before me." Now, Nineveh is a city that's up in the present-day Iraq. But Jonah ran away from the Lord, headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Have you ever felt like fleeing from the Lord because you didn't want to do what he's asking you to do? And when God spoke to Jonah, Jonah said, "I don't want to go talk to those people. They deserve death. They deserve God's punishment. They're wicked. Why, they practice prostitution, witchcraft, and they're some of the cruelest people around during war, how they plunder during war." So he ran away and said no to God. Tarshish is a city over on the Adriatic Sea, right across from Italy. It's a long ways away from where God asked me to go. But a storm came up, and the ship was about ready to sink. This is on the Mediterranean. Excuse me. And the sailors were really worried, and they said, "What did you do?" Because he'd already told the sailors he's wanting to run away from God. So they threw him overboard, hopefully the storm would stop. And it did. I'm glad I wasn't on that ship. And then he spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of this big fish. They call it a whale in our stories, but I don't know what kind of fish it was. It had to have a big mouth to swallow Jonah. And he lived there for 3 days and three nights. I don't understand it, but that's what God's word says. So he prayed. Sometimes God puts us in position where we have to pray. And Jonah, that's all he could do was pray. And you know what? God answered his prayer. Oftentimes when we mess up, God, he's there to listen to us and forgives us. And then the next thing happened. The fish came up to the dry land and vomited up onto dry land. I thought, oh, yuck. What an awful thing to happen. Yes, Jonah then did go to Nineveh and warn the people about God's pending judgment of their sinful lifestyle. Jonah was angry with God. And like I said before, why should he go to these bloodthirsty Assyrians and give them a chance for salvation? And Jonah disobeyed God, and God punished him. But Jonah repented, and God restored their relationship. Through the big story, this is the picture of God's grace, his salvation, his love, and his compassion for all his people and nations. So now what happens with people, with their association with the ungodly? I'm not saying that if you have a friend that's ungodly or you have a boss that's ungodly, that that's wrong. Here's what Psalms says. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. This is one of my favorite ones. "Blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Okay, the practice of this man who is blessed. What does he not do? There's three regressive steps in the lifestyle. There's walk, stand, and sit. So you kind of think about walking. That's people that leave God out of their lives. Is that is that who we spend all our time with? People that leave God out of our life? And then the next thing is he stops and stands. It can be with people whose lifestyle is not honoring to God. And then the next third regressive step is set. sitting in the seat of the scornful. They reject God. So does this verse say we can't have a friend that is non-believer, or we can't work for a boss that's a non-Christian? God isn't saying that. Those who influence our thoughts and actions can lead us away or toward God. Now, what does the blessed man do? It says he delights or his pleasure in the law of God. In other words, his desire is to be in God's word. He meditates or seeks guidance from God's word. A while back, the pastor used a cow chewing his cud as meditating. Another thought might be is that if we look into the mirror, it shows us what we really are. When you got ready to come to church today, did you stop in the hall and look at yourself to see if you had yourself all together? In other words, you're examining yourself. That's what we talk about meditation. In conclusion, people find freedom and blessing by living in God's presence. Divine judgment takes place when man abandons and forsakes God. And repentance brings forgiveness and restoration. The big story is a picture of God's grace, his salvation, his love, and his compassion for all nations. Come next week and you can find out the rest of the story from our pastor. He's going to be back here next week. Let's just bow with prayer. Father, we just thank you for this privilege that we can look into your word and how you work through your people. And also we see how when we sin, how it affects other people. We pray as we walk and go this way, as we leave here this week, and we walk this week with you, that we would be men and women who bring honor to your name. In Jesus' name, amen.